Presents.
Welcome to Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr. and the Citadel Church of Jacksonville. We invite you to stay tuned as Bishop Hill brings to you a relevant word for the real world. Come with me now to a service already in progress.
Can I just start very abruptly and tell you that there is no growth without pain? There is no elevation without opposition. You cannot expect to do anything in the way of achievement, in the way of attainment, in the way of fulfilling aspiration, and not experience the inherited pain that comes along with it. As a matter of fact, what we're going to find this morning is that if there is no pain, there really is no growth. Anybody hear what I'm saying? I know that just hurt your feelings. It burst your bubble. Because the last thing you wanted to know is that in order for God to get you where you've been asking him to take you, it's going to mean a path and a process that involves pain. You will not escape it. There's a pain associated with growth, achievement, and attainment that can only be found or is only recognized when you are growing, achieving, attaining. As a matter of fact, this is not the thing that you can pray away. So stop. Because for God to take away some of the pain you are experiencing would be God discounting what you are actually doing or what he is doing in your life. There is no growth without pain. As a matter of fact, one of the points and one of the pains of growth we discussed on last week, we found in the lives and the lies of Ananias and Sapphira. The pain was deception. Hear that. If you're growing, you will be deceived. If you're growing, somebody will not be honest with you. The pain of deception tells us that not everyone will be real. Not everyone will be transparent. Not everyone will be honest. But if I am going to grow, I got to be prepared to deal with deception. I'm going to be betrayed. Would you just help your neighbor, because they don't want to hear this, but you ought to help them. Tell them you will be betrayed. If ain't nobody looking you in your face and saying one thing, and then behind your back saying something completely different, you can't grow. Oh, God. Betrayal is a part of the necessary fertilizer for growth. Does anybody hear what I'm saying? That's good. That's why I had to holler in the song, because I knew y'all was going to shout me back down. This is one of them. I got to walk by myself. Elder Frederick, I already know. Church ain't going to say amen too much, because whenever you talk about pain, we turn our ears off, we close our eyes, and we shut down our minds, because the last thing we want to know is that pain is inevitable. As a matter of fact, the more you desire to achieve, the more pain you should be prepared to withstand. Anybody hear what I'm saying? It's funny, because we highlight it. We laud and applaud people for their great successes, when really the successes are just the direct result of their ability to deal with pain. And while it is good that we highlight people's successes, we really should be highlighting their struggles. The successes are going to automatically come if you can survive the struggle. So I don't even have to focus on the success. I need to focus on being what I need to be in the stuff I'm going through. Because if I be what I need to be in what I'm going through, when I come out, I will be great. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? I mean, like, really, for real, if you can just make it past today, you will automatically shine. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? That's good news to me, because when you're dealing with consistent struggle, you got to see it as the preparation for the prize that God's got waiting for you. If everything is always going right, you're not making an impact. You're not on your way anywhere. The only time, you know, the only way you can run out of gas is if you're driving a car. Is that too simple? Was that analogy too small-minded? I mean, it's when you're moving that problems show up. The crack in the windshield. Anybody talking to me? The wear and tear on the automobile. We complain that the automobile is breaking down, but we don't realize we've been some places. And that's why we got to deal with it. Ain't nobody talking to me. It's all right. But it's interesting because sometimes when the pain comes, we immediately regard pain as a problem. But not all pain points to a problem. Did you hear that? That's really tweetable. Hashtag he's preaching. Not all pain points to a problem. Sometimes pain is just the highlight to an adjustment that needs to be made. I remember when Lady Kim was pregnant. Many of those days, Sister Stephanie, Lady Kim would be sitting in the chair. She'd have this grimace on her face. And so being the wonderful, doting, amazing husband that I am, I would go over to my wife. It's not about me. It's not about me at all. But being the husband that I am, I would go over to my wife and I would say, babe, are you okay? You don't look comfortable. What's wrong? And she would complain about her back. She'd say, oh, my back is hurting. My back is giving me pain. And I say, well, what's wrong? And she would say, I'm pregnant. Pregnancy is not a problem, but it causes pain. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Now, it is a problem for some of y'all. We'll do that another Sunday. She couldn't get comfortable, but the pregnancy wasn't the problem. So what had to happen was she needed to adjust. Because the pain was caused by promise building inside of her. Oh, yeah. Hear what I'm saying? The pain, the pregnancy wasn't a problem, but it was disturbing her body to the degree that pain was caused. And because pain was caused, it didn't mean that there was a problem. It just meant an adjustment had to be made. It meant she needed to shift in the seat. It meant she needed to change seats. Y'all ain't hearing this yet. It meant she had to get some assistance, a pillow or something to cushion her sitting, because the pain was present, but not because she had a problem. I want you to see the blessing, the benefit that it is with pain, because some of us are dealing with pain and we want to think that the pain means there's a problem. No, your pain may not be a problem. It may just simply mean you need to adjust. It hurts like it hurts because you need to move. Talking to me. If you move, it wouldn't hurt so bad. Because the blessing God is working in you is not a problem, but it is making you uncomfortable. Y'all ain't talking to me. This, I'm not supposed to get happy yet, but this is something that all of us need to understand. Would you talk to your neighbor? Tell them, adjust. Not only was deception one of the pains, because all pain don't point to problems, we need to start looking at some of the other growing pains that we can expect to happen when God is at work in us. Something beautiful occurs in verse 13. The apostles, as you already know, fresh off of the whole scenario, the whole episode with Ananias and Sapphira, they dropped dead because they lied to the Holy Spirit. And yet the apostles, according to verse 12, continue to perform many miracles. Signs and wonders are happening every day among the people. The people are gathering regularly at the temple. But watch verse 13. But no one else dared to join them, even though all the people had high regard for them. Verse 14 says, yet more and more people believed and were brought to the Lord. This is something, Sister Samantha, that I don't think many church folk actually understand. That everyone who believes in you will not join you. That just freed my whole soul. That there are people who will appreciate what you do and who you are. And even though the opportunity is before them to associate with you, they will not. It doesn't mean that they don't believe in you. No, wait, let me just take a little time. Because you and I, we have to learn how to get over what we think people feel about us. I'm going to run it back for you one more time, because this side, they ain't really paying attention. Zetas, I need y'all to really help your side over here, because they struggling a little bit, all right? And since y'all leading this side, you turn around and help and say, come on and get it. You and I need to learn how to get over what we think people feel about us. Do you know that every person that doesn't include you has not excluded you? Here you thought because you weren't invited, you were not wanted. talk on this side. The Zeta's gonna work with them for a little while. Let me just talk over here. Hear me when I tell you, there are people who will enjoy and appreciate and love what you do, but they don't wanna be around you too much. But that doesn't take away from the fact that they love and enjoy and appreciate what you do. Matter of fact, whenever they need what you do done, they will call you. Y'all ain't talking. Oh, they will. They will call you to do what you do because what you do is what they need done. But don't think that when you leave, they're going to automatically want to stay with you. Because not everybody who believes in you wants to be bound to you. Okay. And so the challenge becomes, can I be who I am in the face of who doesn't want to connect with me? Because see, too many of us, when folk don't stay or stick or connect, we think it's because there's a problem with us. So we change. And now the very thing they had high regard for, they can no longer get. And God is trying to get us to understand that you can't look for everybody you bless to stay with you. If you base your credibility, your power, your validity on how many people are with you, you will die. If you need everybody who receives from your hand to celebrate you, you will die. They will walk away and tell everybody but you how much they appreciated what you did. And if that is what you need to live, then you will die. Because one of the pains of growing is understanding you will help more people than those who stay with you. Yeah. Is anybody here? I don't care if you got 400 very good, close friends. Trust me, there are only a small percentage of the people who are actually blessed by your life. Does anybody hear what I'm saying? Okay. That's all right. So tell your neighbor, just be what God made you to be. Notice the apostles don't let the fact that there are some who won't join them stop them from being who they are. They keep on healing the sick. And verse 14 and verse 15 says that they bring so many that they realize everybody can't fit in the church, so they just line them up outside. And Peter's shadow falls on them, and they are healed. Can I tell you what else you need to look for as a pain in the church? An association with people who need what you have. Watch what happens now. There are some folk who won't stay with them, but they keep bringing sick people. Verse 16 says, crowds come from villages all around Jerusalem, bringing sick and those possessed, and all of them get healed. I don't know if y'all are actually seeing this. He says to us that if you're growing, particularly as a church, you ought to expect sick people. I'm going to bless you in a minute. Watch this. Expect sick people in church. Dr. Z, they don't appreciate this yet. This is why the church has to be healthy, because sick people are coming. Look around you. No, for real, turn your head, like, look around you. Sick people. On your right, on your left, in front of you, and behind you. As a matter of fact, I want to use this moment to kill the notion about the kind of people who are supposed to be in church. Because if one more person tell me about the people who are in church, I promise you my north side is going to come out. Why you don't go to church? It's too many hypocrites there. It's liars there. It's backbiters there. And yes, you are right. There are hypocrites in the church. There are liars in the church. There are backbiters in the church. There are false teachers in the church. There are gossipers in the church. There are adulterers in the church. There are users in the church. There's plenty of fornicators in the church. You got drug addicts in the church. You got homosexuals in the church. You got too much sexuals in the church. It's a whole bunch of us in the church. You know why? Because the church is for sick people. I wish I could talk to you. I'm supposed to come to church and see sick people. Here's the thing. All of these sick people are in church because church is the place supposed to make them well. If the church doesn't have any sick people in it, it has lost its purpose. Show me a successful empty hospital. Show me one. Because if those beds don't stay full, they'll close the doors. Because if ain't no sick people there, we don't need you. So I don't want a church that I don't see a few really jacked up people. Oh, y'all ain't gonna talk to me right there. I want to see some folk that's got some stuff wrong with them. Because if it's a few of us walking around, then we know we're in the right place. I'm supposed to see sick people in church. Can I remind you of the words of Jesus in Mark chapter 2, verse 17? Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. Jesus says, I've come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. You should be able to know that power is at work in my life because sick people keep coming around. That's how I should know your work, your life. The Holy Spirit is fueling you because you manage some kind of way. Every time one person gets to doing a little bit better, here come another sick friend. Can I just talk to people who understand what it's like? It's like you go maybe about 2 months with everybody's good, everybody doing good in your life, and before you know it, here comes somebody who needs you and they're sick. That's at least 12 of y'all I know. You got to deal with sick people in your life. Instead of fussing and complaining, I don't know why these people always come to me. Lean in, let me tell you. Because the Holy Spirit is working through you and they're attracted to what can fix their problem. Tell your neighbor, you need sick people. You need sick people. It's one of the pains of growth. Can I keep going? I see you, Bishop Johnson. Watch this. Not only is sickness going to be attached to you, but you need to understand that jealousy is a pain of growth. Ooh, look at verse 17. The high priest and his officials who were Sadducees were filled with jealousy. Now you ain't gonna say amen right here because there are a lot of us who've had to deal with jealousy. Jealousy occurs when someone feels that another person's success, possessions, or advantage rivals their own ambitions or desires. Whenever there is jealousy at work, Elder Frederick, there is a challenge for the person who is made jealous of, who people are jealous of, to stop. Too many people stop what they are doing because they don't want to create enemies or opposition. Ooh, who am I talking to? Your work, your life has been put on pause because somebody, you found out somebody was jealous of you, so you pulled back. And you don't do what you used to do because you don't want what you do to create enemies. You don't want the opposition. Understand something. If you are growing, somebody's going to be jealous. You can't allow jealousy to stop or stymie your movement. As a matter of fact, I hope we get this, but jealousy is only and always a pain of personal perspective. What are you saying? I'm saying to you that jealousy is a choice. So for all of you who have ever been jealous, if you've dealt with jealousy, it's because it's your choice. Ain't nobody tell you to be jealous. Ashanti, ain't nobody tell you, look at what they have, then look at what you have and be mad about it. And no, that jealousy is a choice. You can't, and for those of you who've been stopped, you can't stop somebody from being jealous of you.
No.
You can do absolutely nothing but live. And folk will be jealous. You fall in love and you get married, and somebody's jealous of the fact that you're married. The only reason they're jealous is because you're married. And obviously, by default, they are not. Was that too easy? Is too simple, too elementary? They chose to be jealous. So if somebody's jealous of you, you know what you should do? Keep doing what you did that made them jealous. Who do you help by stopping? Who do you make better by responding to jealousy with a cessation of you moving the way God designed for you to move? So you mean tell me you're not going to buy a certain car because it's going to make somebody jealous? Catch the bus then. You're not going to wear what you want to wear because it's going to make somebody jealous? I almost said, well, just be naked, but wear something. You know? We don't want you to wear something. Wear plenty of something, please. Jealousy should not stop you. Tell your neighbor, they're going to be jealous regardless. I'm almost done. Watch this. Not only is jealousy, deception, and sickness a pain of growth, verse 17 points out to the fact, it starts a story that tells us that persecution is a pain of growth. They're so jealous that they arrest them and put them in jail. Now, I'm going to jump over the fact that they put them in jail, but the Lord delivers them, and when they go to get them, they are doing what they were told not to do and put in jail for. You play with that when you get home. They went to the jail. It's a beautiful story. They went to the jail. Look, hey, go get those apostles we put in jail last night. And they went to go get. They done did it again. That doggone disappearance. They gone. And where did they find them? Out in the temple doing exactly what they were arrested the night before for doing. All right, and because they are consistent, persistent even, in doing what they are supposed to be doing, they undergo, they have to deal with persecution. And the persecution comes as a pain of growth to be the sign that I'm doing what's right. Nobody persecutes a person who's not doing what's right. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? As a matter of fact, if you're not being persecuted, you're not raising suspicion. If you're not raising suspicion, you're not causing attention. If you're not causing attention, you're not making an impact. If you're not making an impact, you're not fulfilling your purpose. If you're not fulfilling your purpose, you're quenching Holy Spirit at work in you. And if you are quenching Holy Spirit's work in you, why are you here? Persecution is the reminder that righteousness will not always be well regarded. Persecution is the reminder that just doing and being what God wants me to do and to be is going to cause somebody to not like it and attack what I am doing. But persecution doesn't stop them. I want you to see at the end of chapter 5 how the apostles and their company respond to persecution. Now, please don't miss this. This might actually make me happy. Watch this. At the advice of Gamaliel, a Pharisee, they decide not to kill these people, but they flogged them in verse 40. Then they ordered them never again to speak in the name of Jesus, and then they let them go. Now, I need you to catch this. This is the third time they've told them since chapter 3, don't speak in Jesus' name. And this time, they carry it beyond imprisonment and they whip them, just like they whipped Jesus. Brother Rashad, now this is going to bless you. They whipped them, just like they whipped Jesus. And the apostles, when they are released, they go right back to the company of believers. And watch what happens for them. And the disciples, verse 21, left the high council, rejoicing. Let me rewind. They've just been beaten. They've just been told, don't preach in that name again. And the apostles leave rejoicing. Here's what they're rejoicing over. The fact that they were counted worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they continue to teach and preach this message. Jesus is the Messiah. I don't know if this is going to help you or not, but in reality, some of us have gotten the wrong perspective of persecution. We've allowed persecution to depress us. We've allowed persecution to disappoint us, when really persecution should excite us. The fact that somebody is so mad at God using you that they want to harm you should make you happy. The fact that they can't keep your name out their mouth should make you happy. The fact that they try to assassinate your character and say that the only reason they're doing what they're doing is they must not be doing something that's right, that should make you happy, because persecution is a sure sign that God is at work in your life. Who am I talking to? You've been having to deal with people on your job, trying to figure out how you're making it. How did you get promoted? Who did you sleep with? Who are you friends with? Who do you know? And they don't understand. You're just being who you are supposed to be. You ought to high five your neighbor and tell them, just be who you're supposed to be. Watch this. It is persecution that should cause me to say, I'm right on where I'm supposed to be. It's persecution that should let you know that God is on your side. Do I need to give you a witness? I'll help you. Can we talk to Daniel? Oh, y'all don't remember Daniel, do you? Daniel was that young man who was praying more than three times a day. He got upset. He upset King Nebuchadnezzar, and so he threw him in a den of lions. But King Nebuchadnezzar didn't understand that because Daniel had been praying, that when his persecution came, he was going to be protected. And so even though he is thrown in the den of lions, he does not fret, because the God that he served knew how to shut the lion's mouth. I almost feel like preaching. Tell your neighbor, persecution can come, but my God will protect me. As a matter of fact, Daniel is not the only person who can talk about the benefit of persecution. Can we talk to the three Hebrew boys? Y'all don't know about them, do you? The three Hebrew boys, if they were here, they would tell you, all we did was determine to live for the Lord. We told the king, you can play all the music you want to play. Tell the DJ to spin your favorite tune, and we still will not bow. And so it made the king mad, and so he threw them into a fiery furnace. Matter of fact, before he threw them into a fiery furnace, he had them heated up seven times more than it was supposed to be heated. And when they threw the boys in the fire, it was so hot that it knocked out and killed the ones that had thrown them in. Have I got one witness here? But I heard them tell the story that while they had been thrown in the fire, somebody looked up, the king did, and said, hey, didn't we put three men in the fire? I thought I was just persecuting three, but it looks like I see four, and they're walking around in the fire. Because whenever I am persecuted, the Lord will stand strong with me.
You've just received Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr. and the Citadel Church of Jacksonville. You may order a copy of this message in its entirety for a gift of any amount by calling the church office at 904-699-7962. You may also write to us at P.O. Box 350414, Jacksonville, Florida 32235. When you call or write, please reference the date the broadcast aired. We invite you to share and worship with us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Our church is located at 8050 Lone Star Road. For directions and more information about the church, visit our website at thecitadelchurch.com. Again, that's thecitadelchurch.com. Be sure to tune in next week at the same time for Hope with Bishop Terry Hill.